Should marijuana be legalized for medicinal use in Wisconsin? How about for recreational use? Two states, Colorado and Washington, voted last week to legalize pot. Do you think it's high time other states follow suit? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 14th. We'll talk with a guest from a marijuana law reform group who hopes that the votes in Colorado and Washington will open the door for similar action here in Wisconsin. And we'll wonder what you hope at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Jay Seltofner. He is treasurer and co-founder of Northern Wisconsin Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. So what is your reaction first to the votes in Colorado and Washington?
Well, I'm not packing my bags to move there yet, but I'm very happy to see that we have some first states in the union trudging into some waters that have been uncharted for some time.
Yeah. Did it surprise you at all?
No.
Why not?
These states have been progressive on the issue on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. So both medical marijuana states, the programs that they have initiated have been working. Public polling there has basically shown it's going to pass. It's just a matter of getting out the vote, like any issue.
Now, if I understand it correctly, in Colorado and Washington, the way this would, I guess, hypothetically work is that people could buy small amounts at stores. It would be taxed and it would be regulated. It would not just be, purchasing big amounts off the street.
Correct. It would be regulated similarly to a fashion of alcohol and tobacco. Mm-hmm. Go in the store, show your ID, bar pick the stuff off the shelf you want, show your ID to the clerk, buy your product, leave the store, and consume it.
Yeah. But those two states still face some hurdles here. The federal government still doesn't think it's legal.
Yeah, that is true. We have this classification or scheduling issue that has been kind of looming over the heads of everybody in the movement from industrial hemp to medical marijuana to recreational marijuana. So that's why we're eager to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you think that perhaps this does open the door for similar action in Wisconsin?
Very much so. Like I said, that's one reason I'm not packing my bags to move there is I'm still very optimistic about the outcome of the marijuana movement here in Wisconsin, and I think this is going to be the tipping point that sees multiple pieces of legislation this session on the issue.
So what's on tap first?
Well, I mean, everybody has their own agenda. We would love to see an industrial hemp bill because industrial hemp bill has been traditionally supported bipartisan, and it really, really seems to be a jobs bill, something that can create a vital economic source for our economy here in Wisconsin. We were once a leader on the issue. So the industrial hemp bill almost seems to be like a no-brainer. Rather than seeing an outright legalization or even a decriminalization, a form of marijuana reform would be removing the automatic felony for the second offense of possession. That's just a relatively simple concept. It's not going to necessarily change the dynamics too much, but would be a very large step in the right direction for taking a different approach to our war on drugs.
I missed that. Removing the what from the second offense?
Right now, if you are charged with a second offense of possession of marijuana in Wisconsin, you could receive a felony for that.
So I see.
Rather than have that felony label stamped on users continuously, even the youth of our society, maybe creating an unemployable type situation because of this felony label, just removing that offense could be a monumental step.
What about there have been bills in the past to legalize the medicinal use of marijuana. Do you see that coming back?
Yes, I mean, actually we do. Our previous co-sponsors were Erpenbach and Pocan, who we all know now are moving up, no longer going to be state legislators. So we're currently circulating our legislation and ideas to all of the legislative branch, including in January when the new assembly reps come in, for new sponsors and co-sponsors for all sorts of our legislation. But we do expect a medical bill to be introduced, and we have done some pre-work with those two aforementioned legislators, and we firmly believe that we have leading sponsors for a medical marijuana bill.
Mm-hmm. But with a Republican-controlled state Senate and Assembly and governor's office, for that matter, do you think the prospects are good for any of these bills to pass?
I think legislation is one, passing legislation is one voice away in our legislation process. I'm not going to say if somebody grandstands the issue at all, but if somebody in our legislation process takes this issue to heart, wears it on their sleeve, and brings it up again and again, you know, sticks it in there, not to cross-clude every issue, but to show how marijuana reform or drug policy reform could help out in other areas, whether that's, you know, economy, our homeless situation, whatever the situation is. But if we have somebody who is, you know, constantly being vigilant about the issue, yes, it has a good chance of passing, whether the Democrats are in control, whether the Republicans are in control. Obviously, if we saw a Republican co-sponsor, a Republican lead on the issue, we would feel much more confident of it passing.
One of our Facebook followers suggested that we should work to get an advisory referendum on the Wisconsin ballot that could lead to the legalization of marijuana. Would you support that effort?
Oh, of course we would support any effort to have an advisory referendum on. My understanding, and again, this is just my personal opinion at this point, is that once we have legislation introduced already, which we have had on the medical marijuana issue, we should have enough information at the legislative end, you mean the council studies, those types of things from the bipartisan agencies, that the referendum has already, you know, the point of the public referendum has already passed, that the legislators believe the public support is there to get legislation through. What we might like to see a legislation or a referendum on is the outright legalization, outright decriminalization, something other than a medical marijuana referendum. But it should be on a statewide ballot. When we look at the medical marijuana referendums in 2010, we had two of them that were placed on, not statewide, but in specific areas, Dane County being one, City of River Falls being the other. Both of those referendums have passed, the one in Dane County, overwhelming support. All of the other public polling on the medical marijuana issue, including our open records requests during the sessions to see who was communicating with our legislators, all of the public support that we have out there is actually in favor of medical marijuana.
Well, just in general, why should marijuana eventually be legalized, in your opinion?
In my opinion, on the industrial hemp side of it, if we had some more liberal laws for medical marijuana and recreational marijuana, we might be actually to participate in the industrial hemp economy. So medical marijuana end of it, we see tremendous benefits across the board for a wide variety of patients, even if they're just using their marijuana in conjunction with other opiate medicines. They're finding that it's making their other opiate medicines work better, so they're able to be less dependent on those types of drugs. Of course, we're going to have alternative treatments that the marijuana only seems to work for certain types of people, or their other medications aren't working for them, so the marijuana is working. So just to provide our, you know, impoverished society, the ones who are sick, dying, and disabled, an alternative medicine, you know, it just makes sense. It's not really a taboo subject, and the science is there, and we can look at these other 17 states. As far as the overall war on drugs or the recreational marijuana, I kind of have the stance that drug abuse is bad, but the drug war is worse. And I come from that from a couple different ways, but majority of that feeling comes from my work in the field, just talking to people, cold calling, knocking on doors, visiting people from town to town. When I ask them about medical marijuana, 9 times out of 10, they say we should just legalize it totally. So I do see the support there also. Majority of that support is coming from tax it. You know, they see it as a waste of state expenditures, and they see it as a waste of untapped revenue. So is that a reason to legalize it or not? I don't know, but coming from the field, that is the the general public. They say a lot of, let's just tax it.
Just backing up a bit, it seems like it's a real uphill battle if groups like yours, and with bipartisan support in the past, Wisconsin can't even pass a bill that would allow the growing of industrial hemp that cannot be smoked or abused in any way.
Yeah. No psychoactive properties. Well, then let's point our finger back at the government. How can they not get these two straight? You know, that not only is it the state, but we can start looking real strongly here at the federal government, and we can start looking real strongly and say, why is that industrial hemp plant, you know, classified in the schedule that it is? And that really is a door opener, Joy, to the conversation, the overall conversation of why are we not utilizing this plant product in all of its glory, industrial, medical. And if we look at as an alternative to tobacco, as an alternative to alcohol, it is a safer choice across the board.
But again, industrial hemp is the plant itself, but it does not, people can't get high from it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and it's used in textiles and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we also have the seed crop of the plant. We cannot forget that it is a seed crop. So the seed is used for multiple different things, from also fiber to making fuels to actually a food product. The hemp nut or the seed itself is actually very nutritious.
We are talking about whether or not Wisconsin should legalize or at least reform marijuana laws. And we're welcoming your input and your reactions to these votes in Colorado and Washington, which legalize the recreational use of marijuana. Do you think Wisconsin and other states should follow suit or not? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Today it's going to be mostly cloudy and mild. We can expect high temperatures in the 40s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows will be in the upper 20s and lower 30s. And tomorrow, a sunny, mild day with highs getting into the low 50s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 14th. Coming up, it's At Issue with Ben Maron, starting at 3 this afternoon. Researchers have discovered having a sister is likely to make you better emotionally balanced than those who grew up with a brother or as an only child. Join Ben Maron and his guest as they discuss the bond shared between sisters. That's after 3 during At Issue with Ben Marins. We are talking about marijuana laws and talking about what the votes in Washington and Colorado, both states last week voting to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, what those votes mean to the state of cannabis legalization in Wisconsin. Our guest is Jay Selthoffner. He is treasurer and co-founder of Northern Wisconsin Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question for him or a reaction, a view on this issue. Jay is telling us that his group would like to see a bill to legalize industrial hemp in Wisconsin, would like to see further action on legalizing marijuana for medicinal use and, you know, down the road, a recreational legalization of marijuana. And Jay, what is the current state of the recreational use of marijuana in Wisconsin legally? It's decriminalized for possession in many communities, but not necessarily statewide.
Correct. If we look at the state laws, they're actually some of the harshest in the books. If you look at like a map of the United States, then you can easily single out Wisconsin as some of the harsher laws in the books. But there are certain areas that are decriminalized. I believe Milwaukee County, City of La Crosse, most recently the City of Antigo, up north, kind of considered a much more rural, smaller community, obviously much more Republican, but they did decriminalize small amounts too. But for all intents and purposes, recreational marijuana is totally illegal in Wisconsin.
It's illegal in these various communities, though. If you're caught possessing a small amount, you don't get wrapped with a felony or something like that. You pay a ticket.
Yeah, basically it's like a civil forfeiture. Madison, Wisconsin has probably the most liberal ordinance on the books, and it has been on the books for a long time.
So you still get in trouble, but you don't get thrown in the slammer or anything like that.
Correct.
Our lines are full, so let's see what our listeners think. Rick in Toma is with us. Hello, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? What do you think about this?
Well, I'm a health professor, and I have a couple of concerns. Number one, I think I'm totally for the legalization of THC in medicinal situations. All the research I've done, I really can't find any reason why it shouldn't be legal. But the reality is that it basically is legal in pill form. There's a couple different varieties of it, which have been prescribed for years. I think since 1989, it's been legal and used for cancer victims. I guess my biggest issue as a health teacher is that anytime the marijuana is burned, as in smoking, it's releasing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of carcinogens into the human body. We've already got cigarettes. The estimates are that one marijuana joint is equivalent to the poisons and toxins of approximately four cigarettes.
Yeah. Rick, let me ask you about the proponents of medicinal marijuana say that in pill form it doesn't help them as much as it does when they smoke it.
Right. Well, I think a lot of that research comes from people that are used to smoking it, and anytime you smoke it, you get a much more intense and quicker rush from the drug. That's proven in any, that's why people go from snorting cocaine to smoking it. It hits the body harder, faster. And I believe it's,
All right, Jay, I'm sorry, what did you, let Jay in on this.
I would say it's an effective delivery method. That my dad has COPD and he uses like a nebulizer, which is basically a mist medication. So, you know, if we go and look at, you know, that, some, just to pick apart some of the arguments there, that the smoking marijuana is actually an effective way to get that medicine in, especially for people who want instant relief, say somebody who's bipolar or post-traumatic stress syndrome, something like that. As far as the pill form, we're isolating just one or two chemicals within the plant itself, isolating them into a pill form.
What about Rick's concern, though, that smoking this is harmful to your lungs and all sorts of, you know, that it's like smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, well, legislators say all this medical stuff is anecdotal proof. If marijuana was a health hazard, we would have a public health crisis. It is a very widely the largest used drug in the United States. Cash crop, you know, it's higher than corn and soybeans. So people are smoking it. It would be a clear and evident public health crisis if marijuana caused lung cancer. It doesn't. The studies are out there. Dr. Tashkin, if you want to look that up, there's a lot of information out there that combats everything this gentleman just said.
Yeah, and we have so many callers and so little time. I'm going to move on to our next caller. Thank you, Rick, for the call. Greg in Ashland is with us. Hello, Greg.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is, what should, if marijuana is legalized, what should the fine be or punishment be as in, for overuse, like in drinking and drunk driving? What do you recommend for that?
Jay?
Well, as far as medical-wise, we might actually see some patients who are required to use the marijuana before they drive. So there's not always this drug driving impairment type thing. But just like with any of your legally prescribed medications right now, there'll be a warning label on there that, you know, you want to make sure that you don't have adverse effects before you drive and those types of stuff. But me personally, again, this is just me, I feel the drunk driving laws aren't necessarily severe as enough. also on the drug driving end of it, too. It is a danger to our highway. Of course, I'd like to see fines and punishments for that type of behavior. What those are right offhand, I can't tell you that, or I wouldn't have a necessarily opinion on a dollar amount or a length in jail.
Yeah. Well, what about just in general? Do we have to fear a massive abuse of marijuana should medicinal marijuana be legalized, or for that matter, recreational marijuana legalized, in that we're going to have a bunch of high people, you know, stumbling around?
I'll default to my statement about the public health crisis that, again, people are smoking marijuana every day. People are driving down the road smoking marijuana every day. Cops bust people with marijuana in their car every day. If it was clearly evident that this was a crisis, it would already be staring right at our face. That it's not an impairing drug. It doesn't impair you to the point of inebriation like alcohol does.
Yeah. What about the argument that if we, you know, relax marijuana laws and make it legal, that then more people will start doing harder drugs because of the argument it's a gateway drug?
Yeah, the gateway theory has, again, been disproven, discredited. I don't think it's even legally recognizable in court either. I can send you a couple links on that information, too. So, again, the gateway theory is certainly not there. We would look at, you know, other things as the gateway theory, perhaps even nicotine and alcohol, but no, we haven't seen those statistics evident in the states that have gone legal, and it does not seem to be a concern, especially does not seem to be a concern of the legislators as we talk to them.
We will continue talking with Jay Selthoffner, who is with Northern Wisconsin Normal, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, who is telling us why he thinks we should reform marijuana laws here in Wisconsin, especially after now Colorado and Washington State have both legalized the recreational use of marijuana. More after the news. We are discussing the votes in two states last week, Colorado and Washington, to legalize the recreational use of marijuana and whether other states like Wisconsin might follow suit. We're talking with a guest who hopes so. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, November 14th. What do you hope, or what questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think that Wisconsin should legalize the growing of industrial hemp in Wisconsin? Do you think that Wisconsin should legalize pot for medicinal purposes, or decriminalize it altogether? We welcome your thoughts and questions on this issue as we talk with a guest from Northern Wisconsin Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Jay Selthoffner. And we have on Facebook Tim, who says, "I think the federal government should legalize marijuana. Want to get out of this current depression? Legalize pot and tax it." So, Jay, the revenue purposes are a reason to do this, too?
Yeah. Actually, and just to touch on that, we had a historic legislation on the federal level. It was H.R. 2306 was the federal bill number, dubbed publicly as the Federal Bill to End Marijuana Prohibition. It was basically modeled to repeal the prohibition the same way they repealed alcohol, assign the states to do it. And in this particular instance, 2306 would actually allow the states to experiment with different models. Some might go to medicalization, some might go to legalization, some might decrim. Wisconsin might make it more severe, you know. That would be the model under the 2306, is let's let the federalist, you know, the unique system of the United States work the way it should work. Let this issue be experimented on by the states. From there, if the federal policy was going to be set, let's base it off the states. Some say that's not the federal government's business, but that's kind of where we're at. Yeah, the revenue right now in its total illegality is still a larger cash crop than corn. So we're not even talking about all the ancillary businesses and revenues and, you know, all those things that go along with the economy coming above ground.
What do you think the prospects are for the federal government to allow this, let the states decide approach?
If we look at it as a common sense basis all the way across the board, very, very, very optimistic. I don't know how much common sense there is in the federal government right now. So if we look at it as a budgetary standpoint, the war on drugs costs us too much every year, the public policy failure, and even, you know, back in, I guess when we look at Nixon, you know, in the Great War on Drugs, we have a certain percent of our population that will always be addicted to drugs. And, you know, so we've seen this mass amount of expenditures being thrown at it, and it's creating more problems than doing good, or actually, you know, curbing drug use. The prohibition of it does not curb it. So that's kind of when you said, are lawmakers worried about, you know, more use or anything like that? Well, other models have shown that once we go to a more regulated model, actually usage does drop.
Let's go to Earl in West Salem next. Hello, Earl.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
As I was telling the gentleman I was talking to, I'm 73 years old, and I live in a retirement home up here. But when I was in my 40s, yeah, I smoked marijuana, too, not just here, but also in the state of Washington. And the comment I have very quick is that would be the worst thing, legalizing it. Look at all the problems we're having now with drunk drivers. And believe me, I remember driving behind the wheel of a vehicle after smoking that. Actually, my reaction was far worse than drinking booze. And I was a heavy drinker, too. But I stopped the drugs I was on. I stopped the heavy drinking. A lot of the other bad habits I have, I'm still alive yet, and unfortunately, a lot of my family members are gone, and by that I mean some of my kids. And one of them was a very heavy pot smoker, and it was a contributing factor to his heart attack. He was only 49 years old.
Yeah,
that'd be the worst thing.
Sorry for your loss, Earl. Thank you for your story. What's your response to that, Jay?
Well, I mean, obviously, everybody on an individual basis can have an adverse effect to marijuana. Just like me, if I hopped in my car right now, drove down the street, and somebody handed me a cigarette, and I actually smoked that cigarette, being a non-smoker, I would be impaired, and I would be endangering everybody else out there. So if we legalize marijuana as an alternative to alcohol, we might actually curb some of this drinking and driving stuff that's going on. Traditionally, obviously, right now, people stay at home and smoke pot because they can't go out to the cafe and smoke pot or go down to the store, this and that. But you can go down to the bar and drink. Everybody can stay home and drink if they want to. But we do see that recreational acceptance of that, which does lead to drunk driving. So, and, you know, if we look at those other states that do have medical marijuana, I think Oregon is the one with the best stats out there that, across the board, all of those things that we're worried about actually decreased, you know, domestic violence, deaths on the road, incidents of drunk driving arrests, all those types of things.
I have to
disagree with them.
There would still be laws on the books that you would get in trouble if you were driving impaired. I think even now, driving under the influence or while intoxicated or something, I mean, it's not just for booze, it's for drugs.
Drug to driving. We are a drug to driving state. With marijuana, what we would like to see is a metabolite test, which basically says, okay, if you are suspected of being impaired, let's have a standardized test, which would be to see how much metabolites are in your system, to see how long ago you used marijuana, and, you know, make an impairment judge based off some sort of scientific evidence rather than just an officer field sobriety test, especially on the marijuana issue.
Yeah. Earl, thank you very much for the call. We move now to Tim in La Crosse. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, good morning. I have in my hand a book. It's called The Chronic Pain Solution. It's from the library. It's Your Personal Path to Pain Relief, and it's by Dr. James N. Dillard, who's a doctor, and it discusses chronic pain solutions like meditation, yoga, a variety of different, it's a whole big book. And at one point, he has a paragraph here, medical marijuana, and I like to quote it. At the time of this writing, federal law prohibits using marijuana for any purpose, even though it reduces pain and, even more important, relieves nausea associated with opiates, chemotherapy, and other medications. Without it, many people can't keep food or drugs down. That we ban marijuana for this compassionate use is nothing short of an outrage. It's a pretty mainstream book right here. And
yeah, so you sound like you're in favor, Tim, of legalizing it for medicinal use.
Well, I worked in hospitals, so I've seen the pain and suffering. I've also worked in a detox, and I saw the devastation, the death and destruction of families from alcohol. And yeah. All that time, we had nobody there for marijuana intoxication.
Yeah. You know, Tim and Jay, I guess, there are other medicines for a lot of these conditions, though. Isn't that what the opponents say?
Yeah, you know, if I can, as a patient, if especially as an impoverished patient who is poor on disability, let's look at it as the taxpayer who's also helping this impoverished person. If this person can grow a plant in their home that helps them with their pain and suffering, maybe keeps their dependence down on these other drugs that maybe the taxpayers are paying for, I think it should be an alternative. Some patients aren't going to be able to grow it, but we might have some patients who it helps them. Gardening is therapeutic. They may actually be able to produce a viable crop for resale that it might help them get off the disability situation that they are on. And as adverse side effects go, when we start looking at a pros and cons list, the traditional pharmaceutical medications that are being prescribed to them, they may actually be using the medical marijuana to combat some of the side effects of their legally prescribed medication. So I see it as a win-win-win-win-win situation when you really, really dive deep into it.
Yeah, aren't there also critics of medicinal marijuana who say, like in California, for example, there's a pot pharmacy on every corner, and a lot of people who really don't need it, can get a doctor somewhere to say, sure, this is okay. And so you have a lot of people, just legally smoking marijuana that really don't have medical conditions that require it.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that we kind of heard from some of the legislators the last couple sessions, is that the medical marijuana law is a loophole law. It's going to create more gray areas. People are going to find a way around it, And one of the things that we keep hearing echoed in the streets, and even certainly admitted by the legislators, is that anybody can smoke pot right now, even though it's illegal. That you can really, you talk about pot shops on every corner. I've taken newspaper reporters out, and I said, you name the town, you tell me where you want to go, and we'll go see if we can find pot there. Pot is everywhere on every street corner already. Regulating it, controlling it, would actually create a better system, maybe stop youth from getting it, have some quality control, all of those different types of things.
We're talking with Jay Selthoffner. He is treasurer and co-founder of Northern Wisconsin Normal, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And we are talking about the prospects of reforming marijuana laws in Wisconsin on the heels of the votes in Colorado and Washington State last week that legalized the recreational use of marijuana. Where do you want to see this issue go here in the state of Wisconsin or other states? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll get to more of your calls in just a moment. It's going to be mostly cloudy and mild with highs in the 40s. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows will be in the upper 20s and low 30s. And then it's going to be getting mild, sunny and mild tomorrow with highs in the 40s in the north, getting into the 50s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 14th. Coming up after 7, it's our big question debate. Today's big question, who has the better approach to avoiding the fiscal cliff, President Obama or the House-led GOP? That's our big question coming up in our next hour. Right now, we are talking about whether or not we should legalize marijuana in Wisconsin. And our next caller is Ken in Oshkosh. Hello, Ken. Ken, are
you there? Morning.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I'm sitting here anxiously waiting to talk to you and have something to say. And the gentleman was just on from across, I believe. I was listening to him. I'm the person he was talking about that's in pain and can take one breath of this. And also, I live on narcotics. There's no, I have tried to get off of them. I've quit because I wanted to and had my doctors help me. I'm on half of what I was taking a few years ago, and I'm still non-functional.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Ken, you are using marijuana for your chronic pain, is that right?
I just used some while I was listening to the gentleman from the crosstalk, and it's one breath, and I don't sleep. Like he said, I'm stuck on narcotics. I ain't got no choice. If I don't take them, then I would probably have to kill myself. But you can't. People that don't understand what pain really is, oh, I hurt my back. BS.
Why?
I hurt my back.
Yeah, Ken. So why don't the legal pain killers work? And marijuana does. Do you think? I mean, are you saying that
they do? I was on 100 microgram of fentanyl. It's come in a patch. I put it on my chest, whatever. You put it on your body someplace, like a nicotine patch. I was on 100 micrograms. Guess what? I barely had any pain. But now I am a non-functional person.
Yeah.
I have become a junkie, essentially is what it is. I mean, fentanyl is man-made
highly
heroin.
Addictive.
Highly
addictive. So I think the easy answer to the question is that your dependence and tolerance to the opiate medications are clearly much more severe than it is, you know, for marijuana, that these people can definitely find easier relief with the marijuana because they don't build up the same tolerance to it. We have to be careful because the way the receptors in the brain work also is that when you smoke the marijuana, it kind of fires up those receptors. It makes them red hot, especially for certain different drugs, dopamine, those types of things. So once that receptor is fired up, it's like a magnet. And then all that other, you know, dopamine, opiates, all those things that are floating around in there, they're attracted to those brain receptors. So you technically don't need to take as much of it because you don't have as much wasted medication that it goes right to those receptors, gets right to where it needs to go. So,
Ken, I'm so sorry.
That's where
thank you for the call, Ken, and I'm sorry for the pain you're in and the addiction to the legal painkillers. And Jay, marijuana is not addictive?
It's habit forming, but technically it doesn't attach itself to the brain stem, so it's non-addictive. You know, I mean, it's non-psychoactive, it's non-addictive. It's most similar to sugar or caffeine on the drug scale, with alcohol, heroin, tobacco being way on the severe side, marijuana, you know, sugar, caffeine. Like I said, it doesn't attach itself. THC, the primary ingredient, doesn't attach itself to the brainstem, non-psychoactive. So, yeah, it's basically benign.
Here's a comment from Sylvia on Facebook. I was married to a man for 26 years, and he smoked 6 joints a day. He is now in his 60s. He has no memory. He must write everything down. He has lost job after job, one with an aerospace manufacturer, and almost lost his daughter when he showed up for babysitting our granddaughter so stoned that he passed out in the house and she had to come to my house that night. He worked his way up to the computer field from a GED to a system analyst position, and when the company he worked for found out about the pot, he was fired, and it was all downhill from there on. He drove when stoned. Once he was stopped on a train crossing when a train was crossing, laughing hysterically. Do not tell me that recreational use of marijuana is not harmful. And what do you say to her?
Drug abuse is bad, but the drug war is worse. For every story that we have how marijuana ruined somebody's life, I'm sure we can pick apart some external circumstances also, and we can also find a story on how marijuana saved somebody's life. On the recreational side, there have been a multitude of people who use and admit to using pot on a daily basis who are perfectly functional members of society. There are neighbors, there are friends, there are teachers, there are doctors, there are lawyers.
We go now to Tom in Wisconsin Dells. Hello, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Yes, what do you want to say?
Yes, I would like to get an opinion from your guest on the religious aspects of cannabis. I believe that God gave it to us to use, and it's natural. And I would like to hear your guest's opinion on that, please.
Spiritual use of marijuana.
Yeah, and it's actually a topic that is becoming much more prevalent today. We actually see a couple different dialogues going. The first widely one is on, it's called, I believe, the Interfaith Drug Policy Initiative. It's kind of all of the individual faiths coming together and kind of taking a stance on it. The caveat there is that it should be a health issue, not a criminal issue. Again, we go back to that. Drug abuse is bad. The drug war is worse. As far as, like, cannabis as a religion, we see the Rastafarians obviously using it as a spiritual use. And then we also are seeing more mainstream people who live by the book of the Bible. And when you start interpreting it, that they are finding that there are indications of cannabis use going back to biblical times, from, you know, the first opening lines in the Bible to various quotes on how to actually make healing oil or anointment oil. So I believe it's a firm, legitimate use to get themselves closer to their spiritualness or to put themselves in a better state. I'm not a legal beagle, so as far as legality, you know, do you have some protections constitutionally because you're using it religiously? One would think so. I was actually presented a document called the Cannabis Bible a few years ago when I first got introduced into activism, and it was an eye-opener to me, being not a, excuse the pun, but not being religious about religious, but seeing the biblical aspect of it. And then also, again, in doing my field work, some of the places that I stop in towns that I go to is the local clergy and churches, just to get their feelings on it. Obviously, I do it for a couple of reasons, but the main reason is we know that these people are in touch with a lot of other people, and if the, you know, if that type of topic can come up in our church, I think we can definitely see the, you know, the movement advancing.
Let me jump in, since we're almost out of time, just a minute to go, a quick react to this poll that's in the news this morning. It's from Washington Post and ABC. 55% of people who are aged 18 to 29 support marijuana legalization, but for people over 65, two-thirds oppose legalization. What does that tell you?
It tells us that the propaganda that was put on by the government during that particular time frame was very, very successful.
Yeah, and I'm just, but since young people support it, I'm presuming you think that time will change laws.
Yeah, time is on our side. I'll close it out by, in the last 3 or 4 years, I've actually focused specifically dealing with Republicans. I've had several Republicans, Tommy Thompson, Senator Luther Olson, Joan Blawig, attend our listening sessions and speak to us about it. And most of these people indicate that it's probably going to be legalized in Wisconsin within the next 10 years. Are the Republicans going to lead the charge? Who knows? But, you know, that was 3-4 years ago. So we only got a couple more terms going based off the information that these people gave us.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jay Seltofner is the co-founder of Northern Wisconsin Normal. I'm Joy Kerdine. This is the Ideas Network.